You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Rob Carson on The Rob Carson Show. I'll be with you all week. It's so great to be here with you. Coming up in about half an hour will be Wendy Patrick to talk about the developments in Trump's various cases happening around the country. Some news coming out of the New York courtroom. Also, some news coming out about Hunter Biden. Hunter is planning to sue Fox News imminently. According to a letter sent to the network and obtained by NBC News, the letter is dated April 23rd, and it puts the Fox News Channel and Fox News Digital on notice for litigation claims arising from the network's alleged conspiracy and subsequent actions to defame Mr. Biden and paint him in a false light, the unlicensed commercial exploitation of his image, name, and likeness, and the unlawful publication of hacked intimate images of him. So, question. I don't think it's hacked when you leave those images on a computer and you just leave the computer like around, like you don't come back and pick it up and you forget about it. If someone else finds that computer and the image is on it, that's not exactly hacked. You just left it there. When you leave your belongings behind and someone else finds them, you lose control over what they do with them. Right? Like if you leave your, your kid leaves their bicycle somewhere on a street corner somewhere because they forget about it, right? And somebody comes along and finds the bicycle and takes it. Should they have done the right thing and turned it into the police? Yeah, they should have. But they didn't. And they rode it around. If they ride it around and then turn it over to the police, okay. But those images weren't hacked. It's not like his computer was locked or like it was open. It was right there with the computer guy and he never came to get it. So, you know. Trump supporters, Biden supporters are sharply divided by the media they consume. I don't think that is a surprise to anybody, right? Is that a surprise? I thought this was interesting. NBC News, though, did a poll, and I don't think it will register with NBC News, though, that some of their editorial choices are because of this. They're probably going to pat themselves on the back. Biden is the clear choice of voters who consume newspapers and national network news. Trump does best among voters who don't follow political news at all. So now the left, of course, makes fun of that. The left says that these are voters who have tuned out information by and large, and they know who they're supporting, and they're not moving. That's why it's hard to move this race based on actual news. They're not seeing it, and they don't care. No, they're living it. They're living it. When they go to the grocery store, they don't have to look at the news to know that the economy is terrible right now. At least it's way worse than it was under Trump. They don't need to see the news to know that. They don't need to really see the news, especially if you live near a big city, to know that illegal immigration is a big problem. They don't need to see the news to know that what's happening in our schools, if they have children, what's happening in our schools is terrible. And it's going in the wrong direction. So their life is what they're basing their choice on. And their lives were better under Trump than they were under Biden. But the flip side of this is what the mainstream media, what the state-run media feeds us as news, clearly influences the election. because they run very few negative stories about Biden. They hide things that Biden does. For instance, I think I talked about it on this show about a month or so, 6 weeks ago, something like that. Biden signed into a rule for that regulates Medicare Advantage. It's another regulation on Medicare Advantage, and it's a cut. But it doesn't take effect until January 1st of 2025. And what it will cost seniors on Medicare Advantage on average will be about $400 a year more. My hunch is the vast majority of people never heard that because it wasn't really widely reported. I didn't see it on any of the main, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS. I didn't see it on you know, CNN or MSNBC. It wasn't in any of the papers because they are propaganda outlets. And just like NPR, propaganda outlet. And an editor called them out for it. So what happened? He got fired. Well, they put him on administrative leave and then he left. He quit. Here's a great example. Let's go to go to cut one, Michelle. So when Nancy Pelosi was on with Katie Tour on MSNBC, part of her appearance was more than just talking about the fact that they're going to get rid of the filibuster if they control everything so that they can have total control. But they were talking about Joe Biden, and she was there to tout Joe Biden and disavow Trump, you know, put Trump down. And she told Katie Tour that Donald Trump is a great threat to our democracy. That's what they keep saying. It's a great threat to our democracy. What is a democracy? What are the pillars? What are the pillars of democracy? And she goes through a free and independent press to tell the story, she says, to keep everybody informed of what people are saying and doing. That transparency is essential. Remember that quote. Just hang on to that for a second. She then goes on to talk about an independent judiciary. Hilarious, right? Because we have a two-tiered system of justice, if anybody's paying mild attention. There's a two-tiered system of justice. It's about free and fair elections and what they do and what do they do but suppress the vote. Because they view voter ID as suppressing the vote as opposed to keeping it a fair election, as opposed to making sure that people in the country illegally don't vote. They don't view it that way. They view it as suppressing the vote. Mm-hmm. And she says, there's nothing in his performance that he's done that would indicate that he cares, prioritizes, or ever valued or ever did anything to support a democracy. It's a good thing we're a representative republic, Nancy, but sure, keep going. And now on the ballot saying he should have immunity from whatever he might do. I have sympathy and respect for everybody who votes. I'm glad people vote. All right. So here's where we're going to pick up. From what she was saying there, listen, you're going to have to listen very carefully, to especially to the end. So listen to when Nancy Pelosi says, just listen to it. And then if we have to play back, we can play it back. But just listen to see if you can hear it. Go ahead.
But there are those who have real legitimate concerns about immigration, globalization, innovation, and what does that mean for their job and their family's future? And we have to address those concerns. And Joe Biden is doing that, created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And
I don't
he has
think
the worst.
That anybody can accuse and me of that.
Okay, I don't know if you heard her at the end. I don't think anyone can accuse me of that. But as soon as she disagreed with Nancy Pelosi, and she said, "Well, you know, in the honor of transparency in a free press, Nancy." It was a global pandemic, and that's why Trump, you know, there were job loss under Trump. And you really, you know, she should have gone on. Because a lot of the jobs that Joe Biden's taking, you know, taking credit for creating, which, by the way, the president doesn't create jobs, right? He doesn't hire anybody. He just creates, through the Congress, favorable taxes and an environment for businesses to thrive and create jobs. But did you notice that Nancy Pelosi turned on her as soon as she said, well, you know, to be fair, in all honesty, this is what happened. Nancy was having none of it. She was having none of it. And I just thought it was so hypocritical and just so perfect and good for Katie Tour for pushing back on that. I thought that that was absolutely fantastic. All right. If you want to jump in, 1-800-922-6680. Also, Rob sent me a note and he wanted me to just share something with you. He is from Iowa. He was born in a small town. He was grown up in a town called Minden, Iowa, M-I-N-D-E-N, and it was devastated by the tornadoes. It's a town of about 600 people. The tornado destroyed over 40% of the homes and businesses, and so a fundraiser was set up. So he said, if you can, go to GoFundMe.com and look for Minden, M-I-N-D-E-N, strong, if you would like to help out. So there you go. The tornadoes are just unbelievable. It's just terrible. Can't even imagine. Look, are you tired of the woke services like Netflix and Disney Plus and Hulu and more? Well, you need to get Newsmax Plus. It is the fastest growing streaming service in America. With Newsmax Plus, you'll get the Newsmax channel and Newsmax 2, the newest network. Now, you can watch their great shows with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Greg Kelly, Eric Bolling, and more. And you'll get real news, informed opinion, and the most cutting analysis from Dick Morris, Carrie Lake, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Huckabee, Victor Davis Hanson, and many more. Plus, President Trump says Newsmax Plus is terrific. He loves it. Bypass the big media and get the Newsmax channels, great documentaries with actor John Voight, and so much more. We even cover live all the big Trump rallies. Never censor President Trump like the big network. So start your free trial today. It costs nothing to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register, then download the app and start watching. Millions are watching Newsmax. Be one. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com today. And welcome back to the Rob Carson Show. I am Mary Walter sitting in for Rob Carson. I'll be with you all week. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Wendy Patrick will join us to discuss the developments in Trump's various cases. We've got some news this morning coming out as well. And then we're going to get deep into the protests. And I refuse to call them protesters. They're Nazis as far as I'm concerned. When you link arms with others to prevent Jewish students from getting to class because they're not allowed on certain parts of the campus, they're not allowed, you're a Nazi, because they did that too. They were brown shirts. You, and they were at least not afraid to show their face. You're a bunch of little cowards who won't even show your face because, you know, you might have to suffer consequences if you do. So I refuse to call them protesters. You don't like it? Too bad. If you want to join me, 1-800-922-6680. Coming out of England, this is from the Daily Mail. AstraZeneca, which is based in Cambridge, which I did not know that. I thought it was an American company. But AstraZeneca has admitted in court for the first time that their COVID vaccine can cause a deadly blood clotting side effect. They say it is an exceedingly rare reaction, but it is what's at the heart of a class action lawsuit in England by dozens of families who allege that they or loved ones were maimed or killed by what they're calling a defective vaccine. Lawyers representing the claimants believe some of the cases could be worth up to £20 million in compensation. Now, AstraZeneca is fighting this, but they acknowledged in a legal document submitted to the High Court in February that its vaccine, quote, can, in very rare cases, cause TTS. TTS is short for thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome, which is a medical condition where a person suffers blood clots along with a low platelet count. The complication is listed as a potential side effect of the vaccine and has previously been called vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia, or VITT. Now, okay, they list it as a side effect. I don't know about you, but when I get the thing in my that package, when you get a drug now, you pick it up from the pharmacy, it's got, you know, 16 pieces of paper with it, and they expect you to read all of it, possible side effects, and take this and don't do this and all this other stuff. And I get it, because everybody's lawsuit crazy. I understand that. But some of these people that are suing, one of them is a father of two and an IT engineer. He was left with permanent brain injury following a blood clot and a bleed on the brain after getting the vaccine in April of 2021. He has been unable to work ever since. Another is a woman who was a singer, and she played on, like, they're a version of Broadway, you know, an actress. and she was getting standing ovations for her role in the musical Kiss Me, Kate. She's an Australian, but she was in the UK when the company made everybody get the COVID vaccine, and she suffered a stroke. She can no longer even put a sentence together, let alone sing. She can only speak slowly, and she's lost everything. But though having suffered greatly, she was and continues to be, quote, a staunch and proud advocate for vaccination, having gone on to receive other non-AstraZeneca COVID vaccines since her injury. I got to tell you, if I suffered a severe stroke after that, I don't know if I'd be getting anybody else's COVID vaccines. That's just me. Now, although accepted as a potential side effect for 2 years, this VITT, it marks the first time the company has admitted in court that it can cause the condition, and this is according to the Telegraph. Now, taxpayers, though, will wind up footing the bill because of an indemnity deal that AstraZeneca struck with the government. And you knew this was going to happen. I get that these vaccines didn't really go through a lot of testing because they had to get them out, because nobody at the time, and I try to put it in perspective, nobody knew what we were up against. We had Dr. Fauci telling us it wasn't gain of function because the Wuhan lab wasn't doing any gain of function. This must be from bat soup. We now know that that was a lie, that they were doing gain of function. He probably knew exactly what we were dealing with, but he didn't tell us that. And Deborah Birx's book, you know, said that they were flying blind. At least she was honest in the book. They were flying blind. They didn't know. They felt that they had to tell people what to do. So the whole 6 feet apart thing was totally made up. They knew that masks did nothing. All of that's come out now. And now masks are just used to hide your identity when you're destroying private property, or, you know, acting like a Nazi, or proclaiming loudly that you're the member of a terrorist organization that loves to rape and kill and put babies in ovens. So I personally think we should get rid of masks now. We should say no more masks in public spaces, but that's just me. So the taxpayers are going to wind up footing the bill for this. Now, it's just 51 cases have been launched in the high court seeking damages. I think the damages will be about £100 million in total. Let's see. They say that this condition, though, can happen in anybody at any time, not just if you get the vaccine, which is true. What I find interesting in this whole story, though, is they say that some who are severely disabled are facing huge ongoing medical costs, as well as being out of work. In some cases, their family members are also having to quit employment to provide them round-the-clock care. Weren't we told that the British system, the national health system, the NHS, was the system that we should want to be? This is what Obamacare was all about. You know, in other countries, first world countries, European countries, they have national health care. And we're always being told to look at the NHS, the national health care system in England, right? So how come these people have to sue to have their health care costs paid for? Because I thought everything was free in the utopia of England and their wonderful national healthcare system. That's really weird. It almost sounds like they're in America, where I keep being told no one should have to have a GoFundMe to fund their medical care. We should be like England, where it's all paid for. Isn't that weird? So I thought that that was a very interesting piece of all of this, of this little story here. And unfortunately, I think there are a lot of people who got the vaccine and wish they didn't, you know, as information comes out. And I really feel for people who did that, because, you know, you can't take it out of your body. It's in there. It's in there. And I think as time goes on, we're going to find out more and more and more about, you know, what really was in all of these and what it could possibly do. Some people will be fine, but I don't know. It just makes me wonder. Okay, coming up, Wendy Patrick will be joining us. We'll talk about what's happening in New York with the gag order and Trump being sanctioned, and also Brett Kavanaugh. A 15-year-old law review by Brett Kavanaugh offers a glimpse as to what, you know, what he could possibly be thinking with this immunity case. Now, he admitted in this 15-year-old paper that he had changed his mind, so he could change his mind again. But we might get a glimpse into that, because that a lot of Trump's legal problems would go away if they rule that he has immunity for some of them. And also, We'll talk a little bit, if we have time, with Wendy about what's happening on the on these campuses with free speech. They're all claiming free speech. We're peaceful protesters. We're just camping out. That's what we were doing there. We're peaceful. And these the cops came in and overran us and they were violent and they're fascists, blah, 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 and on and on. So where does that line between free speech and an illegal protest begin? And a lot came out over at Columbia University last night with the taking over of buildings and barricading themselves in the buildings. And I personally am a big fan of just leaving them there and preventing any food from going in, cut off the water, cut off the electricity, and you're done. That's it. Let them sit there. But that's just me. But they would never put me in charge because that's how I feel. So we're going to get some answers to all of these questions and a whole lot more coming up with Wendy Patrick next on The Rob Carson Show. And welcome back to the Rob Carson Show. I'm Mary Walter sitting in for Rob. I'll be with you all week. If you want to join me after our guest, 1-800-922-6680. Wendy Patrick is joining us. She's a prosecutor. She's the host of Today with Dr. Wendy on KCBQ Radio, Newsmax columnist, a legal and political commentator. She does it all. And you can follow her on X at Wendy Patrick, PhD. Wendy, it's great to have you.
Hey, Mary, it's great to join you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Wendy and I know each other from being on Newsmax on The Wendy Bell Show. We've appeared right. there several times together. All right, let's get into this, what is going on in Trump's various cases. We have the one in New York. And what interests me is that apparently the prosecutors have to convince the jury not just that Trump falsified his business records related to these hush money payments, but he did so because it was a conspiracy to promote or prevent the election. And what I find interesting about that is that prosecutors had to prove that the alleged conspiracy was to conceal a conspiracy to unlawfully promote his candidacy in 2016, which I find odd because Hillary Clinton paid Perkins Coie. She gave the money to her lawyers, just like, Michael Cohen gave the money to, David Pecker. And she did that so that they could hire a foreign agent to spy on her political opponent to come up with a fake dossier, which was leaked to the media in order to influence an election. So I'm very confused as to why any of this is even on trial.
Yeah, Mary, you're basically doing a great job of reciting the public narrative surrounding the propriety of bringing charges. And it's something that's been percolating ever since, remember, early last year when the indictments were announced in this case. But the jury isn't privy to any of the comparisons to other cases, or shall I say comparisons to cases that weren't brought with respect to other candidates. And they did a pretty good job of screening them, now, albeit in a record-setting amount of time, very speedy. But those jurors don't have the benefit of listening to any of the public narrative, and that's by design so they don't judge this case based on anything but what comes out in the courtroom. But the larger public narrative in the court of public opinion, shall we say, is exactly that. It's a comparison to other cases, not so much in the spirit of whataboutism, but simply looking at whether or not the same kinds of elements may have been present with other political candidates, and if so, why those cases weren't brought, whereas the former president is in charge. Now, Mary, let me shift tack for a minute, because, of course, I've been both a prosecutor and a defense attorney. The prosecution will basically argue these facts are different than the circumstances present in the other cases. It's not just a bookkeeping error, because wrongful intent is involved when there's an allegation of mischaracterizing payments. So I know it seems simple and it seems very straightforward that there are similar elements. One thing they're trying to do here through the witnesses that you heard last week and this week is make it about these facts, which hopefully, at least in terms of the broader electorate is concerned, i.e. the voters, is going to be judging this case on its facts.
Now, we know that this morning Judge Mershon did sanction Donald Trump for him saying, speaking out when he does, like either on X. And in some of the cases, he just retweeted what somebody else, you know, re-X'd what somebody else put out there, right? And he was fined $1,000 for each instance. But yet Michael Cohen is allowed to go on TV. Michael Cohen is allowed to be all over X and social media, trashing Trump at every turn. But Trump now gets sanctioned and threatened with jail time, which I personally think Trump would love to go to jail because I think it would make a great point. But that aside, I don't understand, and I'm not a lawyer, how that's constitutional to say you can't respond. You'd have no free speech rights.
Well, in general, all of the trial publicity rules include a provision for a reply statement. We've been talking about what the lawyers can and can't do because those are professional rules that apply to lawyers. This gag order also covers parties, i.e. the former president. And the tweet, the post, the retweet that you're referencing, he was not sanctioned for. Remember, it was 9 out of 10, but that one he did not, the judge did not impose sanctions. But who's to say that's not going to happen again in a little bit different circumstances? Because a retweet is an endorsement. That's part of what the court explained. We've seen that litigated in other contexts. But why is it fair, to your point and to the former president's point, that the witnesses get to take to the airwaves, as Michael Cohen did, and the president isn't allowed to fight back? I mean, talk about something being totally contrary to his nature, is to not be able to reply to publicity that he didn't initiate. My prediction is this is going to become even more relevant this week, as we are already, they don't have to announce it in advance, but we are marching towards the main witness, which is going to be none other than Michael Cohen. So the president, former president, is really going to have to be mindful of the judge's ruling. You're right. It would be a Secret Service disaster to try to strategize how to incarcerate Donald Trump. I mean, do you do it at house arrest where he can't be sort of courtroom campaigning on breaks? Do you house him in a secure room in the courthouse? What would that look like? You're certainly not going to mix him in with the general population. My prediction is we don't get there. But that's one of the reasons why you heard the judge outlining the parameters of this gag order yet again and making that threat public on the record.
And he did rule that he can go to Barron's graduation.
Yes. You know, that was something that a lot of people believed was unfair. First of all, he wasn't allowed to attend the Supreme Court arguing the immunity claim, which was very important. And Donald Trump even went to his civil trial when he wasn't expected to and wasn't required to. He certainly wanted to go and hear the arguments in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. But it seems like the judges relented in allowing him that concession to attend Barron's graduation. That's great. But what does it do as a practical matter? It lengthens the course of this trial yet again. Remember, they're only in session 3 days this week, so it's moving a little slower than anticipated. But Mary, the testimony today, some people that were listening found it to be boring. It's foundational to what's coming next. And the reporting from inside that courtroom says the jurors are taking notes. They're paying attention. They no doubt recognize it as foundation to some potentially explosive testimony when Michael Cohen hits the stand.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Elise Stefanik filed an official ethics complaint against Jack Smith with the Department of Justice's Office of Professional Responsibility for what she deems is illegal election interference. And she said it's obvious to any reasonable observer that Jack Smith is trying to interfere with the 2024 election and stop the American people from electing Donald Trump. And she goes on to say that when, you know, the district court imposed a stay on the proceedings, he and his office ignored it and continued to file discovery documents. And how it just doesn't seem to be right what's happening here.
Well, people file all sorts of objections to all kinds of cases that are brought across the nation, frankly, across the world. It's not unusual to see these arguments being made. And there are mechanisms for making them, arguing them, litigating them, whatever it is. But I think regardless of the merits and what ends up happening, is she's drawing a comparison to other elections and also drawing a comparison to the timeliness of much of these actions. That's been one of the main points, Mary, that some of these objectors have made, is why now? The why now question, the answer to the why now question will be relevant to the broader jury pool, which is the American people, because, I mean, if we are to believe the polling, which sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, even people on both sides believe that this should be something tried by the citizens, and somebody should be free to campaign and speak their mind and not be subject either to gag orders or to time left off the campaign trail, as what happened with both Jack Smith's case, the case in Manhattan right now, and the other two criminal cases, which have virtually no chance of taking place, at least from start to finish, before the election. So we'll see the way that plays out. But, you know, you and I will be covering it, and the, you know, the other stations will be covering it, and the court of public opinion will be listening to it. They're not constrained by the Manhattan jury's admonitions from the judge that they're not to consume any outside media. So no doubt, regardless of what happens with this ethics complaint, the response and this sort of public litigation will make a difference to the American citizenry, because they're the voters.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And then lastly, we have Ken Paxton arriving in Manhattan to support Donald Trump, which I thought was great. I thought it was great that he was there to at least say, hey, you know, showing some guts, showing some courage. One other quick thing, though, regarding the case before the Supreme Court with immunity, there was a law review written by Brett Kavanaugh 15 years ago in 2009. It was a legal review, and they say it could indicate how he may decide in the case. In the article published in the Minnesota Law Review in 2009, when he was working as a circuit judge, Kavanaugh argued that the public grossly underestimates the difficulty of the president's job, and that anyone elected to hold office should be able to focus on his never-ending tasks with as few distractions as possible, but went on to say, and that includes criminal prosecution, at least while in office, but the point is not to put the president above the law. So what do you think? Do you think that shows anything? Is that any kind of like a sneak peek into how Brett Kavanaugh's thinking of this?
No, because it seems to be consistent with not only his remarks from the bench, even the arguments from both sides. Remember, the analysis that will have to be done probably by the lower court, because by all indications, the justices seemed inclined to send it back to the circuit to try to figure out what are official acts versus what are private acts, is it's similar to this distinction of what should the president be clothed with in order to do his job. You know, in the courtroom campaign breaks, Donald Trump is talking about, you can't just have a figurehead. You can't just have a president that's not able to do anything. Brett Kavanaugh basically said the same thing, is there has to be official sort of immunity around the president's job when he's in office. But does that extend to actions beyond the office? And would it necessarily cover every personal activity when you are in office? The Law Review article may have had a footnote saying the scope of this review does not determine, you know, personal acts, because that's a little bit beyond the gist of what Justice Kavanaugh was saying. But it's not beyond the gist of the argument before the Supreme Court, because that was basically it. Personal acts versus official actions, and should there be a different immunity for each? So I would say that even though the former president is likely to lose the blanket immunity ask, which he wants, his loss is a win for his campaign, because that analysis back at the circuit court is going to run out the clock to effectively prevent Jack Smith's case from going to trial before the election. So after the election, if he wins, all bets are off in terms of the future of that case.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And I think they make a great point where, you know, his lawyers made a great point. So are we going to go back and do we prosecute Obama for killing Americans with a drone? Do we go back and prosecute Biden for what happened at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan? So I think that those are very sobering thoughts, because that pendulum swings both ways. And right now they're not thinking of that.
Yeah, it's true. Although, I mean, all crimes have statutes of limitations. We've done away with some of them over the especially since the hashtag MeToo revolution, or I should say the reignition of that. But nonetheless, there are also very practical reasons that we don't go back and say, okay, now we're going to look at everybody's case that was similar, simply because of the resources that would be involved in trying to compare that and whether or not it would be fair. You know, part of the reason, and this is to your point earlier, that people are saying, why so close to the election? Part of the reason we don't like delaying prosecution, nobody does, is it's hard to reconstruct fact patterns from long ago. You know, like we say, witness memories, unlike fine wine, don't improve with age. And neither does the memory of the person who is being charged with a crime. We want it to be more timely than that. When you have political ramifications, as of here, that becomes even more relevant.
Yeah, and I know you got to run, but the statute of limitations appears to apply to everyone but Trump, because the statute of limitations on these crimes in New York, first of all, are misdemeanors, and somehow they made him into a felony. I still don't understand how they did that. 34 felony counts from misdemeanors that the statute of limitations had expired on. So it seems to apply to everybody but Donald Trump. So.
Yeah, that's part of what the prosecution and the judge is going to have to explain through jury instructions. And, you know, if this fact pattern and the way that they did it to make them felonies, if it's unprecedented, it's unpredictable. And that's one of the challenges. I would say perhaps one of the biggest challenges of a case like this, or it's not to say you can't use this legal theory. The theory itself is not novel, but perhaps in this way, given this defendant, that's going to be a challenge. But you know what? That's why jury selection is so important, to find some brave men and women to sit in that box and say, I'm up for that challenge.
Yeah, very interesting. Wendy, I don't want to be blamed for keeping you too long. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk to you. Find her on X at Wendy Patrick, PhD. And she is also a Newsmax columnist, so you can catch her there as well. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Oh, you too, Mary. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, your comments coming up next, 1-800-922-6680 on The Rob Carson Show.
Hey, guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information, or to get started opening your account.
Mary Walter in with you for Rob Carson here on The Rob Carson Show, 1-800-922-6680. And just a reminder, tonight, 7:15 p.m., you can catch me on YouTube and on Gitter Live. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. We'll be talking about the legal guest on to talk about Trump's trials, but also the line between free speech and protest that's happening at these colleges and universities around the country. Also, follow me on X at Mary Walter Radio. There's no S, it's just Mary Walter Radio. Let's go to Gary from Kingsville. Gary, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mary. So you were talking earlier about Hunter Biden suing Fox News.
Yes.
For airing things that had been hacked from his laptop computer. And you mentioned accurately that finding an abandoned computer is not hacking. There's a vast difference in the definitions of the term there. But you and I understand reality and what words mean and how the law should apply. But to the Democrats, and you spoke admiringly of Nancy Pelosi earlier on, they have no shame. They have no soul. They do anything to keep power in their hands, and they don't care what it is, and they will literally violate the law. As I recall, a young woman who suffered from an addiction was in a halfway house. I think it was down in Florida, but I'm not sure, somewhere down south. And she discovered an abandoned diary, the diary that belonged to Joe Biden's daughter, that she had left there when she was at this halfway house. And she had left it behind. This girl found it. Now, unlike the guy in Dover who had Hunter's laptop, he turned it over to the FBI, thinking that that's what he should do. This girl didn't apparently turn it over to any law enforcement agencies. She turned it over to some media company. I don't recall who.
Well, that was Project Veritas, but Project Veritas said no because they felt that they didn't know where the, what the source of this was, where they were getting it was from, and they got in a whole bunch of trouble. And Project Veritas, you know, drove out James O'Keefe because of that. But they actually didn't do anything wrong.
I don't know how in the world that he should have gotten into trouble for turning down something that wasn't verified.
I know.
That just makes no sense to me. But the law clearly is a dual system of laws that applies in this country, and the only people to be prosecuted and imprisoned are those people who offend the Democrats. And typically they're conservative Republicans, Christians, whatever label you want to put on us. The laws don't apply to them. So you and I see that. I agree with you, but you and I clearly are wrong, because if it happens to the Bidens, if it happens to the Obamas, happens to Hillary Clinton, well, then we're supposed to stand for their rights to not have their sins exposed. But if it happens to Trump, well, then let it all hang out.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. And I'm actually going, just checking here to make sure I'm right about James O'Keefe. So I'm just going to look from what I understand, they did raid his home looking for it.
Right.
So apparently he had seen it, but so I'm going to quickly look through this real quick, and I will correct myself if need be on the other side here. But thank you so much. I appreciate the conversation, Gary. Thank you for listening to the Rob Carson Show. All right, more coming up. I'll correct myself on the other side here if I'm wrong. Okay, that's coming up on the Rob Carson Show. And welcome back to the Rob Carson Show. Michelle, great music. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay, so I said I would investigate the Ashley Biden diary story and to make sure I had the right story. And here is what the New York Post says. The FBI came knocking on James O'Keefe's door. They raided his apartment. They raided the Project Veritas. I don't know what they were looking for. I guess the diary. Who knows? He said that unidentified tipsters approached Project Veritas last year, claiming they found the diary when they stayed in a room previously occupied by Ashley Biden. O'Keefe said he was told the book contained explosive allegations about Biden, but they could not verify the diary's origin, so they chose not to publish its contents and gave it back to law enforcement. So who knows what really happened, but they still raided him anyway. All right, coming up, campus craziness on the Rob Carson Show.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
And I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Rob Carson. I'll be with you for the rest of the week. So, you know, don't leave me hanging. It's great to be with you. 1-800-922-6680. And we're going to talk about the unrest, shall we say? I said unrest. The craziness, the insanity, the takeover by our college campuses by terrorists and Nazis. But I repeat myself. But first, I want to tell you about a little town called Minden, Iowa, M-I-N-D-E-N. It's where Rob grew up. It's about 600 people in the town. It's a real small little town, but it was destroyed by a massive tornado. Over 40% of the homes and businesses are gone. They're just gone. And so there is a fundraiser, and Rob asked that I would share this with you. Go to GoFundMe.com. and just type search on Minden, M-I-N-D-E-N, strong. If you would like to help out this little town, this tiny little town, 600 people. I thought I lived in a small town. And I'm looking at some of the pictures, and it's just so heartbreaking. So if you can and you feel moved to do so, go to GoFundMe.com and look for Minden Strong. All right, let's talk about these Nazis, if you will. I refuse to call them protesters. America Free News, relatively new. A guy named Ronald Yates writing for them, AFNN.us. I find them to be a helpful news source. And there's a bunch of different ones that I go to, and this is one of them. They have a piece here, and it's called Let's Call the Goons Attacking Jewish Students What They Are, Resurrected Nazis. And he goes on to say in the 1930s, Nazi thugs rampaged across Germany, attacking Jews and blaming them for the ills of the world. Fast forward to 2024, America, where we're witnessing a reappearance of the same kind of anti-Semitic behavior on college campuses and cities coast to coast. The only difference is that instead of Nazi brown shirts and black SS uniforms, the anti-Semitic goons of today are wearing black and white keffiyehs to cover their cowardly faces, or they just wear those little convenient COVID masks. In Germany, Nazis yelled death to all Jews. In America, self-proclaimed Hamas demonstrators, pro-Hamas demonstrators, are yelling death to all Jews. So why are college administrators coddling them? And he asked a really great question. Would they allow the American Nazi Party to occupy their campuses while calling for the extermination of Jews? Would they allow the KKK to hold demonstrations calling for the lynching of Black Americans and other ethnic minorities? And the answer is probably not. Actually, we know it's no. Columbia moved to virtual classes yesterday, canceling all in-person classes. Columbia President Manoush Shafiq said over the past few days, issued a statement, and in the statement said over the past few days, there have been too many examples of intimidating and harassing behavior on our campus. You think? Now's when it became too much? Anti-Semitic language, like any other language that is used to hurt and frighten people, is unacceptable, and appropriate action will be taken. Well, what is that appropriate action? Because when you don't do something, when you say that there's going to be some kind of consequence for your behavior, and then there is no consequence for that behavior, well, people become emboldened. Toddlers know this, right? When little kids get to that age where they're like, no, and the favorite word is no, and everything's no. If you don't have a consequence for that action, they catch on pretty quickly that you don't mean what you say. And so you can threaten them all you want, but they know they ain't going to get punished. And this is a generation that grew up this way. And so far, they're not being punished. So I don't know what the appropriate action is that will be taken. Several pro-Hamas faculty members were called out for their anti-Semitism during hearings last Wednesday before the House Committee on Education and the Workforce. Joseph Massad, is a professor of modern Arab politics and published an article just one day after the Hamas attacks on October 7th, calling them awesome and astounding. But Shafiq, the president of Columbia, says, well, these professors are under investigation for discriminatory remarks. Can you, I mean, are you kidding me? I wonder if, and they ask a question here, Robert asks a question in this piece, you know, what if a professor were to stand up before several hundred students and say that the Nazi extermination of Jews at Auschwitz or Dachau was awesome? Would they be allowed to teach at Columbia? And I'm beginning to think more and more they would be allowed to teach at Columbia. So I'm a big fan of calling them what they are, which is not protesters. They have proclaimed themselves Hamas. They're chanting, "We are Hamas." Hamas is a terrorist group that is recognized as such by the U.S. government. Now, let's go to cut five here, Michelle. This is Democrat Congressman Jamal Bowman. He of pulling the fire alarm fame and then going, "Oh, I didn't know it was the fire alarm." Mm-hmm. That guy, he took the signs down and everything and then pulled the fire alarm and then lied in front of Congress, but walked away because he's got a D after his name. Here he is. I don't know who he was speaking with here. It's just a short clip that made the rounds. But they were talking about what to do with the Gazan refugees. Now, what's interesting is that none of the Muslim countries around them want them. Have you noticed that? Egypt put up a big wall, said, nope, not coming in. Nope, you figure this out for yourselves. You're not coming in here. So nobody in that area wants them. So you know what their solution is? Here's Jamal Bowman.
Should the United States bring in people from Gaza?
Well, we are a land of immigrants, and we are a land of asylum seekers. Anyone escaping persecution and oppression and violence, the United States has always been an open home to those people. So whether they're coming from Palestine, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico, Haiti, they're coming here to contribute to our economy, which 99.9% of them are. We've always been a place to open our doors to immigrants coming here. So yeah, fully support that. And also fully support amnesty for the migrants who have been here for quite some time.
Did you notice when he pronounces certain country names, Guatemala? Like, he suddenly becomes Hispanic when he was pronouncing those names. I find that to be so insulting. I think it's really insulting when you do that. And we only do it for Hispanic countries. Have you ever noticed that? Or when pronouncing Hispanic names, like we suddenly, not everyone, but a lot of people just suddenly become Hispanic and try to say it with the accent that they would say it with. I don't know. We don't do that for any other language, right? We don't do that for German or French or anything like that. We do it for Hispanic names. I just find it to be very, I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way. I don't like it at all. I think it's wrong. But that aside, well, you know, they're just coming here just like refugees from any other country. We should bring them in because they're just here for a better life and they want to contribute. So that's not wanting to contribute is not an asylum claim, not a legitimate asylum claim. Wanting to contribute doesn't exist. But I just think that if your neighbors don't want you, we probably aren't making a very good decision to say, oh, bring them here. There's a reason why their neighbors don't want them. And remember, everybody's like, oh, but you can't confuse the Palestinian citizens, the people of Gaza, with the Hamas, their government. First of all, they voted that government in. That's number one. Number two, October 7th, I saw the videos, you saw the videos. When they were bringing those hostages into Gaza, back across the border, right? What happened? The citizenry was there. And they were stripping the bodies, the dead bodies. They were beating them. They were throwing rocks at them. They were spitting on them. That wasn't Hamas. That was the citizenry. They're raised from a very young age to hate Jews. And America, too, while we're at it. And so this whole, oh, don't confuse them. They're not the same. Mm-mm-mm. I don't think we take the chance. I'm sorry. But when your neighbors don't want you, I get a little leery of saying that we should bring you here. But that's just me. You know, I just don't think it's such a good idea. All right, I'll take your calls. We got a lot more with the insanity at Columbia, because Columbia seems to be the hotbed. That's where it started. This whole thing, way too organized. I don't think this was organic. Again, everybody points to the tents. They all have the same tents. They all just popped up at once. There's medical. This is way too professional for me. And the fact that we can't find out who's funding this, I don't buy that for a hot second. Because if you were anywhere near Washington, D.C. on January 6th before or after, and you made a bank account transaction, and you were, you know, certain banks without warrants just handed that over to the government so that they could look and see what you were doing that day. But we don't know who's funding these Nazis. Kind of weird. 1-800-922-6680. That is my number. I'm Mary Walter. I got a lot more coming up on The Rob Carson Show. And welcome back. I'm Mary Walter in for Rob Carson. If you'd like to join me, it's 1-800-922-6680. Are you tired of the woke services like Netflix and Disney Plus and Hulu and more? Well, you need to get Newsmax Plus. It's the fastest growing streaming service in America. That's because it's great. With Newsmax Plus, you'll get the Newsmax channel and you get Newsmax 2, their newest network. Watch great shows with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Greg Kelly, Eric Bolling, and more. And you get real news, informed opinion, and the most cutting analysis from Dick Morris, Carrie Lake, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Huckabee, Victor Davis Hanson, and so many more. President Trump says Newsmax Plus is terrific. Bypass the big media and get the Newsmax channels. Great documentaries with actor Jon Voight and much more. They even cover live all the big Trump rallies. They never censor President Trump like the other big networks. So start your free trial today. Yeah, costs nothing to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register, then download the app and start watching. Millions are watching Newsmax. Be one. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com today. All right. Talking about what's happening on the universities here around the country, we have an update that Columbia University has been forced to close its campus indefinitely after they broke into that building around 1 o'clock Tuesday morning. In a statement after hours after they stormed, it's a Hamilton Hall, iconic. I don't know what it is, but Hamilton Hall. After they stormed Hamilton Hall, barricaded the doors, they destroyed a whole bunch of stuff. The university said it would remain closed until circumstances allow otherwise. They said effective immediately, access to the Morningside campus has been limited to students residing in residential buildings on the campus, and employees who provide essential services to campus buildings, labs, and residential student life, dining, public safety, and building maintenance staff. There is no additional access to the Morningside campus. I got to tell you, if I was one of those people, service people, who have to feed those little heathens or, you know, make sure they're safe with public safety and the maintenance staff, oh, hell no. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Nope. I got you. No, not happening. I don't think I'd show up to work. I wouldn't feel safe. No. It's a war zone there. That's what it is. They also said this access restriction will remain in place until circumstances allow otherwise. They said the safety of students remains paramount and thanked the community for understanding. They shattered windows. They broke windows because everyone brings a hammer to a peaceful protest, right? Shattered the windows to get in. And they also clarified that there will only be one access point onto the campus, and officers will be there checking photo IDs to allow access to students. These students are out of control. But here's the thing. Kyle Becker, who is an independent journalist, he was a writer and associate producer for Fox. And so he's got some background in media, is claiming that all the charges have been dropped against pro-Hamas rioters who took over Hamilton Hall at Columbia University last night. He said Columbia University refused to let NYPD in despite protesters allegedly committing unlawful detention, vandalism, and assault. And they destroyed a ton of property at Columbia. So I don't know if that's true. I tried to find it somewhere else. I'll keep looking. But as of now, that's what I found. They unfurled a flag hanging down from Hamilton Hall that says Intifada on it. Tell me how these little Nazis are not involved with a terrorist organization called Hamas. Tell me how. And Hamas is deemed a terrorist organization by the United States. If there are any foreign students in that building, they should be, when they finally get them out, they should be deported immediately. No, you're not coming to school here. Bye-bye. Go back. They should be deported immediately. And the Americans who are in there should not be allowed back on campus. There goes your education, kids. Bye. Off you go. And you can disagree with me. That's fine. 1-800-922-6680. Somebody posted here, Giles Udy says, we've been here before. This is not the first time Columbia University students have taken over their university. In April 1968, they occupied the university offices and took the dean hostage. He was released the next day, but when the students refused to leave, eventually police moved in. 712 students were arrested and 148 people were injured. Now, I don't know if the charges have been dropped because as far as I know, they are still there barricaded in that building. Same thing happening at Portland State University in Oregon. The president of that university, though, Ann Cudd, has now asked the police to come on campus, Portland State University. She's asked the Oregon police to come onto campus because of the property damage that was caused to the main library. That is where they are holed up. They broke in the library, which is the main library. They entered the building and they blocked access to anybody else to come in. She said, we support free speech And we all know this is the issue, the war in Gaza. It's important to a lot of individuals in our community. Emotions are running high. Many feel injustices are too large to ignore. I understand this, but I cannot condone and excuse breaking and entering. I cannot condone the property damage that has taken place at PSU's library. That's the other thing. All of this the graffiti that's been spray painted everywhere, the things that are written on the library, they say are vile and inappropriate. Portland Police Bureau Chief Bob Day said, with the breaching of the library and the fortification going on at the library, this has become a criminal event. It no longer considered to be a public order or free speech event. It requires a different type of response. And they're working with Portland State University to come up with that response. But I don't think you need a response. You can just wait them out. Just wait them out. Don't allow anybody in. They don't get any food. Don't allow anybody in. And when they come out, slowly, as they slowly give up because they're hungry and tired and they're soft and aren't going to last long and nobody thought to pack anything more than a sandwich, they'll come out on their own. You don't have to be violent. You don't have to go in and get them. When they come out, they're immediately arrested. They are immediately thrown off campus. But as part of their sentencing, I think they should all have to go back to the school where they once studied and are no longer allowed to study and have to clean up all the graffiti and all the mess they made. And I also think they should have to pay for it. Let mommy and daddy, who raised you, you little terrorist, let mommy and daddy take care of you. Let's quickly go to Sarah in Houston. Sarah, I've got about 2 minutes here. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's Sarah in Houston. Just commenting that I'm at a very low place right now. I feel like so much damage has been done to this country in the last 3 years that, irrespective of who's elected in November, it's not going to be able to be cleaned up. It's that bad.
I had this conversation Saturday night with some people whose names you would know who work in government. And the general consensus was, if Trump gets elected, we just have a 4-year reprieve from the downward slide of America.
At minimum, at least we'll have a brief reprieve. But I don't think it's going to turn things completely around like we need it to be done.
No.
I don't see that happening either. So I don't know. As I commented to you earlier, I hope November proves to be the biggest landslide in American history. But believe you me, there are people who think the guy in there now is doing just fine. It leaves a person speechless.
It does, but they're easily identifiable, luckily, by their pink and purple and green and blue hair. So at least we can see them coming and not engage them.
Yeah. Oh, no. I believe what grandmother said. You don't talk about politics or religion. You're not going to change anybody's mind. It's just going to make enemies. Let my speaking be done at the polls in November. That's all I can do.
There you go. Sarah, always a pleasure to speak with you. Have a wonderful day.
Well, and take good care.
Thanks for listening, and thank you for joining me. We've got more coming up about what's happening, and I'd love to get your opinion. You can feel free to disagree with me. That's fine, but I say, wait them out. I'm Mary Walter. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. And welcome back to the Rob Carson Show. I am Mary Walter, sitting in for Rob Carson. I'll be with you for the rest of the week. Don't forget to check out my podcast tonight, 7:15 Eastern, live on YouTube and on Getter. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. You can comment. You can leave questions. We'll be talking about, we have a legal guest on tonight, talking about the fine line between free speech and acting like a terrorist on school campuses, and also any news that comes out of any of Trump's trials. We'll be covering that. And you can also get the audio on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Again, look for Mary Walter Radio. You can find me on X at Mary Walter Radio. Do you see a theme? And there's no S. So I called in. He wanted to go on the air, but he said if in 2028 we elect another conservative, we could turn the ship around. And we were just talking about that. You know, if you only have a conservative for 4 years, if you get Trump in for 4 years, it's just a reprieve. But is it enough to stop the downward slide of this country and where this country is going? and dinner I was at Saturday night, the general consensus seemed to be, sadly, and I was very disappointed by it. But yeah, 4 years is just slows it down. It's not going to stop it, because the people in the government, the unelected bureaucrats, the DOJ, the FBI, and they've burrowed deep, deep, deep into the system. They don't feel that they have to do what the president wants, or the elected officials, the people's will. They're going to do what they want and what they feel is best. And that's not necessarily what the American people want. So it's a very hard part of the ship to turn around. And I think it's going to take a long time. So I think a lot of it depends on, you know, who Trump picks as his running mate, number one. But also if the deep state does what they did last time, which is just hobble him at every turn. And we know that the administration is putting in safeguards to prevent Trump. They're passing a whole bunch of rules and everything to make it really hard for Trump to govern the way he wants to govern during his presidency, just in case it's so overwhelming that they can't let Biden win, if the vote is so overwhelming that they can't allow that to happen. So we're talking about the Nazis and the terrorists on our campuses. And Bernie Sanders was on with Dana Bash. Now, Bernie Sanders is Jewish. Okay. But in this country, a lot of Jews are very liberal and are proud Democrats. And I know some of them. And there's, for some, not all, there's a disconnect that I've noticed where they don't make the connection. You know, they'll go visit Israel, their kids will visit or make a trip here or there. They only go to synagogue on the big holidays, maybe not practicing all the time. And if they're reformed, they're more likely to be liberal as opposed to conservative Jews, which are much more likely to be conservative. Funny how that works. And the more liberal reformed Jews tend to not have as much of an affiliation for Israel. And so they're different than say the more conservative Jews. And there just seems to be this disconnect. They're very liberal. They love Biden. They love, you know, all their super liberal legislators, and they watch MSNBC and CNN. And even if they watched, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, they don't get all of the news. And so it's very hard to have a conversation with them about what's happening. And they just don't want to engage. Like, I don't bring it up, especially with my liberal friends. I just don't bring up politics. I just don't, because I know where they are. They know where I am. And that's that. But it's like it takes everything in my being to not bring it up now, because I want to say to them, so you're Jewish. How's this working for you? You know, Jewish students not being allowed to go to class, Jewish students being prevented from walking to on public places on a campus that they're paying a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars, to get an education. But because they're Jewish, they're barred by students, you know, kind of just like the brown shirts did, the SS did in Nazi Germany. It's eerily reminiscent. And they don't, I want to bring it up so bad. But I don't do it because we just kind of have this unspoken pact where we just don't discuss politics. But it's so hard because I want to know what they're thinking. Like, I want to know how their brains are processing this, if at all. Are they just in denial? What's going on? And I've also noted it's no different than what the Democrats did in the 1950s to little black children in the South, where they wouldn't let them go into school class either. So Democrats are going to Democrat regardless of the generation, because they've been at it for a while. It's just a different generation, and they're not wearing brown shirts this time when they're not standing in front of a school building, not letting little black children in. Now they're not letting Jewish children in. So they've kind of combined the Nazism with the KKK part of their roots and combined it into one. So here's Bernie Sanders.
I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe, and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Some Jewish students are pro-genocide. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm sorry, someone?
She said some Jewish students are pro-genocide. Is that something that you're comfortable with that?
Well, I don't know exactly. Look, what I think the essential point that Ilhan made is that we do not want to see anti-Semitism in this country. And I think the word genocide is something that is being determined by the International Court of Justice. But this is what I will say. I don't think there's any doubt that what Netanyahu is doing now, displacing 80% of the population in Gaza, is ethnic cleansing. That's what it is. Pushing out huge numbers of people. And now we're looking at the possibility of an attack on Rafah, where people have gone for so-called as a safety zone. So what's going on there, again, to my mind, is outrageous. And as you've indicated, I strongly oppose U.S. Funding for Netanyahu's war machine.
Okay, so that started out with Ilhan Omar after her visit to Columbia University, which, by the way, she's such a proud mommy because her daughter was arrested and she was suspended from Columbia, from Barnard, which is associated with Columbia. And that was early on. So she was kind of like a leader in getting suspended. So, but she's super proud of her. And her daughter's like, well, I don't have a place to stay. I don't have any food. And I'm like, oh, please call mommy. I'm sure she'll send you, you know, more money on your credit card. And so they played that first. And then the female voice you heard was CNN's Dana Bash. And then, of course, you heard Bernie Sanders. But do you notice that he danced around the word genocide? Because Ilhan Omar says that some of these Jewish students are pro-genocide. So you're either pro-genocide or you're anti-genocide. And this is what the left does. You're either an oppressor or you're oppressed. So they're pro-genocide. They can't be pro-Israel. They can't be realistic and say, well, you know, there was a ceasefire on October 6th. Until Hamas decided that there wasn't a ceasefire anymore, and Hamas came in and kidnapped a majority of civilians, not military, civilians, raped, tortured, cut off body parts, put babies in ovens, you know, horrific, horrible, terrible things. And they're the ones who decided that. So I don't know if that's necessarily saying that you're pro-genocide. And Rafah is where there is quite a bit of Hamas hiding amongst the civilians in the hospitals. This is what they do. They're cowards in the end. They're cowards. They're not soldiers. They're not a fighting machine. They're cowards because they hide behind women and children, and they hide behind the sick and the elderly under hospitals, in schools, and they use those people as human shields. And they could get out of there. The innocent people could get out, but nobody around them wants them. And I think part of that is because you don't know which are Hamas and which aren't. Now, you could just take women and children. They don't even want to do that. So if they choose to sacrifice their own people because they're a bunch of cowards, I don't think that's Israel's fault. And you know what? Hamas started a fight they can't finish. There you go. But I love that they couch it that you're either pro-genocide or anti-genocide. You know, and the people who are anti-Israel are anti-genocide. Because Israel, you know, is an oppressor and they're committing genocide. But notice that Bernie Sanders, speaking of cowards, when asked how he felt about that pro-genocide term, said, well, I don't know exactly. You know, we gotta deflect the courts, the International Court of Justice, decide what's a genocide. No, sir, you can have an opinion on what's genocide and what's not. But no, he punted because he too is a coward. So I just think it's ridiculous. Now, along those lines, all this damage and everything that's happening, some of the Ivy League schools that are currently dealing with this rise of terrorism on their campuses are also the benefits of your taxpayer dollars. Fiscal year 2023, $7 billion, billion with a B, of your tax dollars went to a lot of these universities. More than $5 billion were given to Ivy League schools through sponsorships, grants, and contracts during the fiscal year of 2023 alone. Another $2.1 billion made its way to other prominent schools that have also had anti-Semitic rallies. So some Republican lawmakers in the Senate and the House have said, no, we're not funding this anymore. We shouldn't be funding this anymore, because what's going to happen is all this destruction and everything, they're going to expect taxpayers to foot the bill for. You have to rebuild our library. Oh, we need you to help remove the graffiti. Well, you know, we lost a lot of computers and books in the library and a lot of chairs and things that were destroyed and windows. So we need the money to fix it. Here's the dirty little secret. the top five schools with the biggest endowments in this country have had these anti-Semitic terrorist protests going on. Their endowments, number one, Harvard has over $50 billion, with a B, dollars in endowments. Yale, over $41 billion. Stanford, over $36 billion. Princeton, over $35 billion. And MIT, with almost $25 billion. Those are the top five endowments in this country. So why are we, they still receive billions in taxpayer funding. Why is that happening? And that's not to mention the government-funded loans that students get and the grants that students get, the grants that they get to attend these universities. Why aren't they using their endowments? Why do these kids have to take out loans? And then Joe Biden, on top of it, wants to use your tax dollars to, quote-unquote, forgive those loans. So then you're going to pay for their loans on top of it. It's time, I agree with these senators who want to get rid of this, that it's time to stop the gravy train here. UC Berkeley, not an Ivy League school, received more than $451.5 million in taxpayer funding last year. NYU, more than $805.5 million. UT Austin, about $645.5 million. And George Washington received more than $200 million. Why are they still getting taxpayer money? And you know, this has led to them being able to fund all these more administrators, tons of administrators, DEI directors, you know, all of these programs that aren't going to help them get a job, stupid, useless majors. And it's a joke at this point in the game. And how many foreign students there are there because they got money courtesy of U.S. taxpayers to study in American schools? It's time to pull the plug. 1-800-922-6680 is my number if you want to get in here and comment on this on The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
Welcome back to the Rob Carson Show, talking about the terrorists, the Nazis on college campuses, and what is happening with all of that. And we have James C., who reached out to me on X at Mary Walter Radio and said, I agree, protesters is way too nice of a word. Nazi's a good one. Insurrectionist, the Democrats' favorite word. How about plain old terrorists, enemies of the United States? Round them up and lock them up. I can't say I disagree. Let's go to Glenn in Catonsville. Glenn, you're on the Rob Carson Show. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I would like to know when these American and other jihadists come out of where they're occupying, how many of the American jihadists are going to school on taking worthless majors like gender studies and lesbian dance theory, and how many of the foreign students on student visas, either on our dime or their own government's dime, are learning civil engineering so they can build tunnels under hospitals and nursery schools, or electrical engineering so they can build drones and missiles.
Yeah, exactly. This needs to stop. But, you know, it's like a bowl of spaghetti. Everything's so intertwined. It's so hard to follow just one thread back to the source. But I find it... I find it unbelievable that our government can't figure this out and figure out who is who's funding what.
Right.
You know, I find that hard to believe. I really do. And this is escalating, and it's going to escalate, and that's what I fear. You know, if you look at UCLA now, there was an individual that attempted to taser a Jewish man, has been identified as a trans female named Lilith Habib, according to Stop Anti-Semites on Twitter. And so name prior to transition is currently unknown. But now they're starting to try to stop Jewish students by tasing them, by physically assaulting them. There were two students who were standing in front of a door to try to prevent them from getting in, the Nazis to get into a section of the college, of the university. And they surrounded them and they started pushing them and they you know, moved them away. So now it's becoming physical. And I fear the jump that is coming next. It's going to happen. And I think that is a problem.
Yeah, I'd like to tell them that if they want a free Palestine, then let the IDF free them from Hamas.
I love that. Yeah, but see, those are too many words that they don't know anything about.
They can't spell IDF, you know.
All right. Glenn, thanks. We got to run. I appreciate it. Let's quickly go to Bernie and Kate, also in Catonsville. We'll stay there. Bernie, welcome. You're on the Rob Carson Show.
Hi there. I completely agree with you. Yes, they are Nazis and they're terrorists. But there is no penalty that is enough for what these people do. We need to defund those schools. It only took a whole 30 seconds to defund the police when everybody thought the police were wrong. But they're still sitting here waiting around, pussyfooting around, letting all these Jews get tased and hurt and killed. And for what? For
right.
What?
And
there's no sense to this. There's protests and there's violence. This is violence, and it really needs to stop. And these entitled Nazis need to grow up and get over it.
And the problem is I think we're seeing, although it's happened in the past, you know, these are useful idiots. They're ignorant. They operate on feeling, and they haven't been, they've never had consequences for their actions as children growing
never.
Up. You know, this is what we're seeing when they get to college, and these are kids who, you know, mommy and daddy were their best friend. And
I know. And they're entitled to everything that they didn't, mommy and daddy never got.
Exactly. Well, I don't want my child to have to work. I want them to enjoy childhood. So I just give them everything. I had a friend tell me once that this couple of years ago when his kids were younger, and he was just like, gosh, I feel like an ATM because they just come up to me. They stick their hand out and they're like, Dad, I need money to go to the movies with my girlfriends. Dad, I need money to do this. Dad, I'm going to do this because I feel like an ATM. I'm like, well, then stop giving them money.
Exactly.
And he's like, well, you don't have kids. You don't understand. I'm like, no, I pretty much know how my parents raised me. I got it, you know. But
exactly.
Yeah. Well, Bernie, thank you so much for the conversation. I appreciate you joining me. Have a fantastic day. And
you're wonderful. And thank you so kindly for taking my call.
Of course. Absolutely. And I'm back this whole week, everybody. So you can also join me the rest of this week as well. Quick break. And then we're back with the rest of the Rob Carson Show. I'm out of here almost. I have Mary Walter in for Rob Carson. Don't forget, if you get a chance, go to the GoFundMe and look for Minden Strong, M-I-N-D-E-N Strong. It's a town that Rob grew up in that was just devastated by the tornadoes that have just been ripping through the middle part of this country. It's really sad. And it's a town of 600 people, and 40% of it is just gone. Just gone. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Don't forget my podcast tonight on YouTube and Getter Live at 7:15 p.m. Just look for Mary Walter Radio. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate good working with you. I'll see you tomorrow on The Rob Carson Show. WCBM.